Hello, welcome to the Joshua Generation Sermon of the Week. I hope and pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this sermon and encounter God in a new way. God bless you.
He is the founder of Lighthouse Covenant Church International, based in Polokwane, South Africa. And you know, many of you that have heard him speak, you don't have to guess when you hear him speak. He is one of the sons that submits to Bishop Tudor Bismarck. All right, so with Jesus' joy, Joshua Generation, help me welcome the gift and ministry of none other than Pastor Holy Mike as he brings God's word today.
My goodness, that's incredible. Amen. Before you take your seat, why don't you turn to your neighbor, tell them you look way much better than you did last time I saw you. Amen. It's evident. We can see the divine overflow all over you. Amen. It is a joy to be here. Of course, as Pastor Ben has said, this has become our second home. And even if it wasn't for the invite to come preach, we would still come just to fellowship with you. And I'm hoping that you're going to get something out of what the Lord has for us this afternoon. Amen. I just loved that buzz, you know, when we were celebrating the divine overflow over this season. Amen. So we're taking some of that back to the United States of Polokwane. Amen. Daddy, thank you so much for this wonderful day. We give you praise for it. We honor you. We adore you. Daddy, thank you for what you're getting ready to do in this service. We give you praise, thanksgiving, adoration in advance, for we know. We know walking out of this place the same way we walked in. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Give him praise. Come on, put your hands together and give him some praise. Bless you. Yeah. We can be seated. God bless you. Amen. And of course, I would like to pay my homage to Bishop Emakando. Amen. I don't take it light to stand behind this altar. And Pastor Benji, thank you so much. God bless you. And of course, Pastor Jonathan. Amen. Who is now our son. These things work strangely. Amen. Receive the greetings from the United States of Polokwane. My strawberry sends her greetings and her love. I want to talk to you under what I've titled, Grow. Do you have a neighbor? Just turn to them and say, Grow. Grow. That was a boring neighbor. Get a better neighbor and tell them, you gotta grow. You gotta grow up. You gotta grow up. You have to. A guy was invited to a fishing trip and by his friend. So he was not accustomed to that world of fishing. But by his observation, he learned that after the guy will catch a fish, he will take out a stick from his pocket to measure the size of a fish. And if the fish or a fish is the size of that stick, he will take it, put it in the basket. If the size of the fish is a little bit bigger than that stick, he will throw back the fish in the river. So, After a while, the guy was fascinated about fishing, and he started fishing. And so as he was fishing again, without being told and without asking, he also got a little stick, more or less the size of his friend. So his son will see him doing that practice. And it went to the third generation. His son now, when he would go fishing, he would also use a stick. So he was asked by a friend, what is the logic behind this stick measuring the fish before you take it home? And the young man says, I don't know. I've just seen my father, you know, doing what I'm basically doing. So he ought to go ask his father, and his father has to ask his father, because now this thing has gone to the third generation. But when they went to ask the originator of the logic and the theory of a stick, and the guy was laughing when he learned that this thing has gone transgenerational. He said, no, the reason why I have this stick is because I have measured my frying pan. So I want a fish that will fit on my frying pan. So I don't want anything bigger because I've got a small frying pan. So from that story, I have learned this, that people don't reject opportunities because the opportunities are not great. People reject opportunities based on their capacity. So if you don't have bigger capacity, you will be rejecting greater things out there because you just don't have a room to accommodate that. You just don't have a room to accommodate that. So I have tend to grow. When I was a younger preacher, I used to be offended by people who will sleep during my presentation. You know, but this illustration has taught me that, you know, it's not that I'm giving a boring sermon or presenting a boring message. It's just that the person who is the recipient does not have a capacity Have you ever been rejected by people and they never told you the reason why they left you? Either they are friends, relatives, whatever, you had a relationship with somebody and they just left you without an explanation. You were too big for their frying pan. Yeah, I heard that, girl. Amen. You are a big fish. Dr. Leaf, who deals with the dynamics of neuroplasticity, she wrote a book. It's called Who Switched Off My Brains? And in that book, she made this statement that this is how our brain functions or our brain works. A mind stretched, it will never get back to its original state. In other words, if you get exposed to a certain world, there's just no way you can be unexposed, if there's such a word. But exposure, being stretched, it's something that you need to experience in your life. And in this case, we have to work on our capacity. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Can you raise up your right hand? Just hold it right there. So I'm told that if people are given an instruction like this, 99.9% would not have raised their hand to the full capacity. No, I didn't say races. You see, so there's always a room when you're given an instruction to do something. The natural instinct will just, I saw some people like. So it means that there is still a room for growth if you will stretch a little bit. Oh, I wish I can talk to somebody right here. So, this is the season of divine overflow, right? Amen. So some of us, we have taken that word just halfway must. But what we need to do in this season is to put a little effort and stretch a little bit so that we can experience that divine overflow. It's going to be good. Do you agree? The book of Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added." And this translation says, "will be given to you as well." I think we all know that if the statement starts off by saying "but," there was some conversation before, and it? Hello, isn't it? So the conversation before this was that Jesus says, "Guys, I know you have a need of what earthly people need. You need clothes. Are you going to talk to me? Are you agreeing?" Yes, you need clothing, you need transportation, you need a shelter, you need a bursary for your school, you need a husband, you need a wife. If you're married, you need children. Oh, those are needs, right? Hello? All right. Yes, please talk to me. Now, Jesus says, "I know you need these things. But we don't have to search these things in a manner or with the way that the world seek after those things. Our assignment and goal is to seek first the kingdom of God." And once you get hold of the kingdom, the Bible says there now, all those things which your desire will be given or shall be added unto you. So basically now, from the things that are our desires, we have, as I've asked you to raise your hand, we have them, but we don't have them to the fullest. Amen. There's an overflow, but it's not a divine overflow. So now, I want to take you through a little something to understand this dynamic of seeking ye first. The Bible is very explicit. If the Bible says seek first, that word first, underline that word first, it suggests to me that there are certain things which come secondarily to the kingdom. Because if there was nothing under the kingdom of God, the Bible would have simply said, "Seek the kingdom of God." And we will know that the kingdom of God is the only thing that exists. So, ladies and gentlemen, there are 7 existing kingdoms. Can I have 7 young people coming up? I want to demonstrate something. When you're given such opportunities, you must run. Amen. Because I'm making you famous. You will be on TV. Amen. Somebody come stand where I'm standing. The other one right there. Now, I need the tallest here. Okay. Let's. Oh, my God. You were the 8th one? Okay. 3rd one. Let's come in the straight line. Amen. Let's do the straight line. We 7, right? So there are how many existing kingdoms? Aibo. Seven. Some of you is like, you're not sure. I think I was doing grade one. What do you call it here? It's grade one? Yeah, so a teacher, I remember a teacher was teaching us to write in figures, numbers. You know, you remember 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. And the ABCs, IEOs, we learned them in grade one. So my friend, when he was writing, when he came to 4 and 5, he was not sure which one comes first. So he started by 4, but he was not sure if whether that is 4. On top of 4, he wrote 5. Like, so I remember our lady teacher asking, what is this? He says, it's 4th. 4th. So I'm asking, how many kingdoms? Yo, thank you. So because I was hearing 5. So the first kingdom, as the Bible says, you must seek first. This is the kingdom of God. Which kingdom is this one? Come on, work with me. Which kingdom is this? The kingdom of God. Now the kingdom of God is in 3 divisions, which is not a division particularly, but the Trinity of God. It's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So coming second from the kingdom of God is the kingdom of man. Man was made in whose image? So when God wants to see or look at his reflection, he looks unto man. It is his mirror. You were created in the image of God. So here is Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Here is spirit, body, and what? Soul. So all these kingdoms, they are divided into 3. Now, the third kingdom is what we call an angelic kingdom. The kingdom of angels. You remember the scripture says the angels are there to serve us, right? So they are under us. So it's also divided in 3. Those who are writing notes is 3 W's. The first W is for the word. Gabriel is in charge of the word. The second W is for war. Michael is in charge of any battle. The third W is worship. Then Lucifer, who is under the angelic kingdom, used to head that department. And you remember how he fell? Hello? He was thrown down to this kingdom, which is planetary kingdom. So he was demoted from this position to this position. Hello? Which is why you drive the devil crazy when you worship. Because you are functioning in the office which he used to function. Pastor Benji, the scripture says, God says, I'm looking for who will worship me in? Why would God look out for worshipers? It's because there's vacancy. There's a vacant post in heaven. Oh my goodness. Which God has publicly, released out there. That I'm looking out. Amen. Somebody this afternoon has to jump into that post. Because God says you don't need any qualification. Because if you don't do that, I will raise stones to do that. So that's the third kingdom. Are we agreeing? The fourth kingdom, it is planetary kingdom, or what we call cosmic systems. We are in planet Earth, right? Am I in the youth service? Is this Joshua's generation? Is this Chipolopolo? So here is also divided in 3. We've got what we call the upper world, and we have what we call the intermediate world, and we have what we call the underworld. Are you following this? Daniel prayed for breakthrough. God answered on the first day, but his answer was hanging in the upper world. So some of us, God has already answered, but your problem is you haven't found a breakthrough in that world to access your blessing. Now we come to number 5. Is it 5? The fifth kingdom, is it the fifth kingdom, right? Yes. The fifth kingdom is mineral kingdom. Mineral kingdom. This also is classified in 3 states of matters. We have done this in science. It's solid, liquid, and gas. So we have all those minerals in those divisions. Now, the sixth kingdom is animal kingdom. This is also divided in 3. We've got animals of the land. King the lion is the king in that category. And we've got birds of the air. An eagle is the king. And we've got fish in the sea. Hello? Now we come to the last kingdom. This kingdom, we call it a vegetational kingdom. This is the world of plants. Okay? Divided in 3. We've got trees, we've got flowers, and we've got grass. Now, most of us, as Jesus was trying to teach his disciples, and of course the congregation was, you know, you've got a need of a Mercedes. You've got a need of a Range, right? Bugatti, whatever the case is. Nice clothes. Gucci's and whatever you name it. What's that? Louis Vuitton? Amen. You've got a need of these things. But our problem is we are chasing after these things. Right? And as much as we're chasing them, we will chase them for the rest of our lives. But Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom. And if you get hold of the kingdom, all these things shall be added unto you. Now, anybody with money, paper money? Kwachas. You can't sit in the front row and you're broke. Amen. Thank you so much, my dear. Amen. I just need one. Just need one. Amen. God bless you. What is this? Money, right? This is in the paper form. Now, the question is, what is this thing made out of? Paper. Are we agreeing? Now, what is paper made out of? Huh? What? Trees. We are all agreeing that money is coming from trees. Now, of all these kingdoms, where is money coming from? The last kingdom. So now, if all your drive is money, is to get money, you are seeking the least of the kingdoms. So in other words, animals become your ceiling because you have subjected yourself under the animal kingdom. So from where I'm coming from, I don't know whether you have heard about this, that certain people will be so rich because the snake is making them rich. Have you heard of such? Yeah. Why? Because they are in this kingdom. So a snake, because it's from the animal kingdom, whichever way it gives them money, I don't know, but they subject themselves under that kingdom. So it means that then you don't have dominion over that which is above you. So now, Jesus simplifies it and said, if you get hold of the kingdom, right, which is this one, you don't have to chase money. You don't have to chase, well, this shoe, it's made out of leather, right? Hello? So leather is coming from which kingdom? Animal kingdom. So, you are? Minerals. You drove a car, right? It's made out of metal. It's coming from which kingdom? Here. Okay. You live in the planet Earth, where God says you must have dominion. Angels are kept in charge over you as ministering spirits. So, in other words, if you seek first the kingdom of God, everything that is subjected under the kingdom has to follow you. In other words, I don't chase money, but money is chasing after. Oh, I don't chase for clothes. I don't chase for handbags and shoes. Come on, talk to me, somebody. But all these things, they're coming after. Baby, if you get hold of the kingdom of God, all these things shall be added. Give me a high five. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, God. Amen. Let's put our hands together for these lovely people. Amen. Now they don't want to go sit. We were taught in what some call the Lord's Prayer or Disciples' Prayer, Apostles' Prayer, whatever from the school of thought you're coming from. We have been taught to pray. In the opening of that prayer is our Father. Huh? Come on. Our Father. Hello. Yeah, I've once heard this kid. She was my neighbor. I think she went to a Sunday school, so she was trying to recite the prayer. She said, "Our Father who shouts from heaven. Hello, what is your name?" So we have to pray for the kingdom to come, for his will to take place in our life. Somebody shout, "Thy kingdom come." Somebody shout, "Thy kingdom come." Amen, amen. I'm coming. I'm going to ask for your help. My wife and I visited Israel some years, and from Israel we went to Egypt. We went to go see the pyramids. So a lot of camels around there. But I noticed something that when this guy was moving around with these camels and with goods and stuff over the back of that camel, when they arrived at the particular spot, he jumped off of the camel and he started tapping on the knees of a camel. And after tapping on the knees, the camel went down on her knees. And they started taking off every baggage, every luggage, every goods that the camel was carrying. So I had an opportunity to go ask, you know, "Why were you tapping the knees of a camel?" And he says to me, "This camel has been trained that it's a signal, actually. If we tap their knees, it means that they need to go down on their knees. And going down on their knees, it means that it's time for us to offload every burden on their back." So now I have learned that prayer, each time when God calls us to our knees, there are some burdens that have to be lifted off our shoulders. Amen. Say to your neighbor, "On your knees, young man." That's a boring neighbor. Get a better neighbor and say, "On your knees." Amen. Whenever God calls you on your knees, it's time for him to take off every burden off your back. Now, in Luke 2:52, the Bible says Jesus increased in what? In wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. So for us to have the full benefit of divine overflow, we must increase. Come on, y'all. I said, in order for us to have the full benefit of divine overflow, we must do what? Increase. Somebody shout, increase my capacity. Amen. Increase my frying pan. I don't want to miss opportunities, because big opportunities are coming. Some of you might go through the season where a word is released, but you still come to 2025 without anything to show. Not because the man of God didn't hear from God to give such a seasonal word, but the problem would be that you did not have the capacity. Somebody shout, increase my capacity. Oh yes, say it like you believe it. Say, Lord, increase my capacity. So Jesus, like any other person, he increased in wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. Put your hand over your head, amen. Say, Lord, I pray for wisdom. Amen. That's what the book of James says. If you anybody lacks, please ask God to bless you with wisdom. Your world is the reflection of your wisdom. If somebody comes to my house, they don't know me. When they walk from the driveway into my house, sitting room, kitchen, whatever, and in this large extent, my ministry, if somebody goes there without me, they can tell the level of wisdom which I operate in. If somebody comes here and Bishop Imakando is not here, they can almost tell the kind of a person he is by what he has built. So your dress code reveals your wisdom. Was this Queen of Sheba who visited Solomon? The Bible says when she saw, because she went there to seek for wisdom. So you can see wisdom. Just look at your neighbor, you can see wisdom. From their hairstyle. Okay, since this is a young youth service, can I go deeper? Yes, you can see wisdom. You can see wisdom. Can see wisdom. Just look at your neighbor from the head to the toe. Say, can see wisdom. Can see wisdom. You can't trust God for a car, yet you're failing to take care of the pair of shoes you have now. How do you pray for, how will you look after a car? Because your means of transportation now is your pair of shoes. And you need promotion. What kind of promotion? Look at your neighbor's shoe and say, I can see wisdom. Some of the brothers here are praying, trusting God for a wife. But they left their room. They didn't make up their beds. They didn't make their beds. Yeah, baby. Yes, I will. Amen. Why is wisdom? Every lady wants to get married to a handsome man, isn't it? But when we say a man is handsome, we're not referring to looks. We are saying, does he have some hands? Is he having some hands? Is he laborious? Is he industrious? Is he going to open a door for you when you get into the car? Is he going to help you do laundry and washing and taking care of the baby? Wisdom. And some guys, they come to church early to make sure everything is in place, and they leave late to make sure everything is in order. And those are the candidates of handsome gentlemen. So Jesus grew in what? In wisdom. Come on, he grew in what? In wisdom. Pastor Ben, I mean, this is a public knowledge. Private things are expensive. Are you aware? Huh? Private things are what? Private school, is it cheap? But some people is like, is it private school cheap? Is private hospital cheap? Is it a private jet? Huh? I'm talking about private. What else is private that is expensive? Private clinic. Is it cheap? What else? Huh? Now, why do you want to make your private part cheap? Look at your neighbor and say, private things are expensive. So we don't see wisdom if you just give private things cheaply. If the software is malfunctioning, hard body suffers. Hardware suffers. Grow in wisdom. Am I in the right place? He also grew in stature. He grew in stature. And with a favor, or with favor, and in favor with God and man. Write down a few things. This is how growth comes. We want to grow, okay? Number one, growth, or you grow through learning. You grow through what? Learning. So this is comes in formal and informal way through teaching and so forth and so on. Somebody today, you know, even though there's nothing that will change physically, but something would have changed when they walk out of this place, because there's something that just hit their spirit and they have learned something which is going to grow them in spirit. Number two, you grow through association. You grow through association. My secret when I was still at school, when I get into a grade, I will identify top learners or top students, and I will associate myself with them. Hello? That's when you want to be wise. The saying has it that we can tell your future. We can almost predict your future by your company. Who do you associate yourself with? There are certain people that will never bring or apply or rather contribute into your life in the positive manner. Number three, you grow through experiences. You grow through experiences. I've got very few scars in my body. Very few. I think they are too significant. And out of both scars, I can tell a story behind those scars. Hello? So the reason why you have a scar, the reason why a scar cannot heal and disappear completely, God has just made it that way, so that you can learn a lesson. So if you have a scar and you can't tell a story behind the scar, it means that you have not learned your lesson. That is why certain people are full of scars, which they can't even tell you how I got this and that. So we learn through experiences. And sometimes it's the experience of others that we can learn. Number five. Yeah, five. We learn through exposure. The greatest teacher of my life has been exposure. Hello? I wish I had time. Number four, you grow through determination. Sometimes you have to tell, I'm graduating, I'm grown up, amen. I'm no longer in that league. I'm no longer doing those kind of stuff. I will stay focused. I'm growing. It's determination. Number six, you grow through commitment. 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 You have to commit. Number six, you grow through training. Growth comes through training or by training. The second point is you grow through investment. The scripture says, wherever your heart is, or your wealth is, that's where your heart will be. The second point the next point is you grow through vision. I've shared this when I was with you the other day, that Stevie Wonder, Wonder is not his surname. Wonder is not his last surname. He's from Morris family. And how the Wonder came about is that he went to school with normal kids. And there was a rat in the classroom the other day, and they were trying to chase the rat. And guess what? Of all the kids, blind Steve caught the rat. So from there was just a commotion in the classroom. Someone saying, no, how possible is that? Maybe this guy he can see and is just, you know, fooling with us. So when the teacher came and said, what's going on? He realized that, no, they were saying, no, Steve caught the rat. And the teacher said, wow, that's a wonder. So from that day, he was called Stevie Wonder. But the story behind Steve is one day he was asked, Mrs. Wonder, is there anything worse than being blind? And he said, yes. And I was intrigued to know what is it that could be worse than being blind. He said, it's to have a sight without a vision. So some people can see physically, but they don't have a vision. They don't have action plan. So if divine overflow is coming, one must have a vision and an action plan. Let's stand. For those who are writing, I will give you this while you're standing. Let's stand. I'm done. The time is up. Write this one's down. You grow through hard work. You grow through what? Hard work. Hard work. God does not have spoiled breaths. He would have spoiled his firstborn Adam. But he just put him in the garden and said, work it out. Ladies, the first thing that was given to man was not a wife, but was a work. The first thing that God gave man was just a garden, a raw garden. Man, Adam was taking care of the garden, and that was when God said, it's not good for a man. So if a young man comes and proposes and he wants to marry you, ask him, please show me your garden. Did you get it? No, I'm asking for the photographer. Oh, you got it. Okay. I wanted to give him my best smile. Somebody say work. Work, work. Even Jesus says, let's do the work of the one who called us. You got to work. You got to work. That divine overflow is not just coming by shouting. Hello? You grow through hard work. Okay. If I am to come back, I will finish some other things. My message is not finished, but time finished my message. Give the Lord a praise by clapping your hands. Thank you. Can I make a few declarations? Put me on C. Amen. The next time, if ever we're going to meet, wherever, be at the airport, be right here in Lusaka. Amen. Mufolira, Mufolira, Mulifura, wherever. Amen. Amen. You will be in another level. I declare growth. I command increase. I command favor. I command open doors everywhere in the name of Jesus. You're going to grow spiritually. You're going to grow mentally. You're going to grow physically. You're going to grow socially. You're going to grow in every aspect of life. I call on increase, open door, favor, promotion. In the name of Jesus, I call on divine overflow in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, put your hands together. Give the Lord, a praise. Hallelujah. Now we've come to the part where you need to give 24 people a high five and prophesy. Amen. Increase is coming. A job is coming. Hallelujah. Get ready for your car. Get ready. Get ready. Oh, yes. Prophesy to your neighbor. Prophesy to your neighbor. Prophesy to your sister and brother. Tell them increase. C-sharp. You're going to the next level. I said you're going to the next level. You're going to the next level. Tell your neighbor and say, you know, the bottom is overcrowded. Amen. Let's go to the top. Amen. The bottom is too overcrowded. You will drive something that you will be the only one in Zambia driving that. I'm just hearing the Spirit of the Lord whispering to me. There's even the anointing and the release of inventions here. Amen. You know, Louis Vuitton, it's a name and somebody's last name. Amen. We need to wear something of your name and be proud of that comes from Zambia. And there's somebody in the room. My God. Ooh, I'm taking some back home. Of the overflow that is in this room. In Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, I will be somewhere at the back. I don't know where it is. Signing the book, getting a selfie with you. Amen. So that next time when we get to meet, hallelujah, you won't only say that you remember me. At least you will have a proof. Amen. You will say, we took a picture together. Amen. We command increase and favor. Amen. I love you so much. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. We pray that you are blessed. We hope that you can join us for the next episode. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Joshua Generation BLCI.